This week's episode of PFW Chicago Football Podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. We are approaching the month of June, and the theme for the month of June is Alter Ego. So you're going to find items in your June crate from Spider-Man, Transformers, the Hulk, and other DC Comics items. One lucky subscriber, of course, will win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. Great franchises there, Spider-Man, Transformers, and the Hulk. Remember, you get a t-shirt and pin every single month in these crates for less than $20 a month and $3 off your first crate when you subscribe and use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. The Bears had a practice this week. Let's talk about it here on the podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. We actually have a Bears practice to kind of talk about here. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. Follow me on Twitter, at KFishbane. Join my producer, Dan Mott, at Mott's Thoughts. Follow all of our stuff at Bears_Insider and online, profootballweekly.com/Bears. And give us an ad on Snapchat. Bears_Insider had some fun with the Snapchat at that Bears practice, pictures of Mike Glennon, some video from him and John Fox, pretty much trying to Snapchat you everything that I'm allowed to. So there's always a very big gap between the start of practice and the end of practice because I'm not allowed to Snapchat during practice. Those are, of course, the Bears rules. On this show, we will talk a little bit about Mike Glennon and Kevin White and that first OTA practice opening the media with Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. That interview coming in just a couple minutes, breaking down the Chicago Bears and some other Chicago teams. But we've got to start with Mike Glennon. The Bears' starting quarterback had probably a lot of thoughts go through his head after the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky number two. One of those thoughts might have been, I'm going to have to talk to the media about this. Well, a few weeks after the draft, that day came at Halas Hall following... it was the Bears' second OTA, their first one open in the media. Mike Glennon had to answer a lot of questions about how he feels about the fact that the number two pick of the draft went to the Bears and it's the future quarterback of the franchise. And to kind of sum up everything that Mike Glennon said, our man Lee Saldana put together this awesome montage to give you a little insight on what Mike Glennon thinks about the year 2017.
What time is it?
2017 season is my year, and right now this is my team. This year is my year. This year is my year.
Don't you realize?
Do you know what time it is?
Like I said, this is my year.
Don't you realize?
Like I said, they brought me here to be the quarterback this year.
Right now they gotta do what's right for them, because it's their time. Their time.
What time is it?
This year is my year.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
It's been clear in the building that this year is my year.
This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
What time is?
I'm worried about the president, and right now this is my team, and that's where my focus is.
A really awesome work there, audio work there by our guy Lee Saldana, who was present for that press conference. And look, we poke fun at Mike Glennon for his repetition. I believe in the media room we counted 12 separate iterations of 2017 is my year. But what else is he supposed to say? I thought he handled it well. Like, yes, we're going to make fun of it, but he did what he's supposed to do. He was confident. He made it very clear that he is still in charge. He is a starting quarterback. He has made it apparent that he is unfazed by Mitch Trubisky. At least that's what he's putting off to us, and that's what he should do. That's what you should want out of your starting quarterback. You should want your starting quarterback to be extremely confident and show that kind of leadership quality that he showed. So, yeah, look, the guy said the same phrase a lot of times, and we also asked him some similar questions. But, of course, it is still our job to poke fun at it. So that was our first time chatting with Mike Glennon since he got signed at Halas Hall, at least, and, of course, first time since Mitch Trubisky. So that was the big story from Tuesday's practice. There was a few players that did not practice, guys that had offseason surgeries, Kyle Long, Zach Miller, Danny Trevathan, Willie Young among that group that did not practice. Remember, OTAs are voluntary, but it is noteworthy when a guy's got an injury. Doesn't appear to be any contract holdouts this year. Remember, last year we didn't see Alshon Jeffrey in OTAs. The year before that, we did not see Martellus Bennett, and we all know that that led into their final year with the Bears. But no guys on that list for the Bears this year. We'll be back out there next Tuesday when the Bears open doors again for their OTA practice. I believe that will be their fifth practice out of 10 OTAs before they have mini camp in the middle of June. But talk a little bit more about Mike Glennon. A bit of a confusing day when it came to Kevin White status and other things about the Bears, even threw in some Blackhawks and White Sox into the conversation. Got to talk to my man in front of the program, Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. Joined now by friend of the program, Bears beat writer Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Potash. And Potsy, we got to see the Bears practice on Tuesday, the first time we got to see the full team practice. And we kind of thought maybe leading in, I don't know about you, but I thought we might be able to see Kevin White play, talk about Kevin White play. We can't really talk about what we saw, but I think we can agree we didn't necessarily see the Kevin White that the Bears wide receivers coach Zach Azzani told us has looked great. We didn't get to see a whole lot of that at practice yesterday. So unfortunately, would you agree that he's kind of becomes a story when he didn't need to become a story?
Absolutely, Kevin. That was totally a John Fox production. And I'm not really sure exactly what to make of it, to be honest, because I think a lot of it is just the kind of John Fox's kind of insecurity and paranoia about giving out information that he just doesn't want to give out. Because Mike Glennon, in answering a question earlier, or maybe it might have been earlier in that day, acknowledged that Kevin White was actually participating in Monday's OTA. So we know he's out there. It's not like it's a major injury situation if he's out there one day and not the next. They're just being cautious. But again, the reason why it's an issue, and I was talking to some of the Bears people about this yesterday, is because they have a history of players, including Kevin White. Kevin White at the top of the list of players who are being cautious about who end up on IR or PUP list or whatever. So it is. I guess what I'm saying is it is to be, there is something to be concerned about because he's not out there every day. But as far as the Fox portion of it, that I don't. That's John Fox being John Fox. I don't make much more out of it. In fact, I actually rewrote my story when I originally wrote it, when I thought about it, because I just figured the Fox thing was just John Fox being John Fox. He's just a very paranoid guy about information, about giving out information, and I think that I think we still have to kind of wait and see about Kevin White. But I understand the concern, so it definitely is. That definitely was kind of the story or one of these stories yesterday.
Yeah, and for our listeners, let's play quickly. Let's play those clips. Let's start with John Fox. So this is what John Fox, his response to a couple questions about Kevin White.
We're just trying to make sure we get guys ready for camp. More precise for game one against Atlanta. So we're going to do anything necessary to make sure, we get that done.
Will he be on the field with you guys at all during OTAs?
We're not really going to get much into that as far as who's in, who's out, and those types of things. Just, understanding that, we're not lining up to play quite yet.
And Mark, you referenced Mike Glennon. Let's play that clip, too, to hear what the Bears quarterback had to say about Kevin White.
I've really enjoyed getting to know Kevin on the field and off the field. I mean, he's a great guy. He works his butt off, and he made some really good plays yesterday that, got me excited and the rest of the team. So, he's really eager to learn. I know he's eager to get back out on that field, and it's going to be, him along with a lot of other receivers, I think, kind of have a chip on their shoulder to prove that it's a good receiving corps.
Oh, we got a lot of Rich Campbell in this podcast. He was asking those questions about Kevin White and back here with Mark Potash. And Mark, I think the most important clip of those clips we just heard is what Mike Glennon had to say about Kevin White as opposed to what John Fox had to say about Kevin White. It's just unfortunate that we were there Tuesday, not Monday, so we didn't get to see that. We saw a different Kevin White on Tuesday.
And Kevin, doesn't that illustrate what I was saying about how what Glennon said kind of really kind of puts a magnifying glass on just kind of the ignorance or stupidity of John Fox's response? I mean, how difficult, when Rich asked, will he be out here on OTAs, how difficult would it have been to say, well, he was out here yesterday, so he's already been out on OTAs. The grass was wet. We don't want to take any chance, unnecessary chance with the guy. He'll be out here again. Everybody would have accepted that. So that's what I mean. That's why it's kind of it's a lot trickier situation than it should be. And for one reason, and one reason only, because of John Fox. And you know, that's the way he chooses to kind of deal with us. It's very frustrating, but you know, that's a quirk that we're going to have to get used to. It would be a lot easier to get used to when you win, you know, more than 9 games in 2 years. You know, so it's just, yeah, that's just what that's a, it gives people a good indication of kind of what we're all dealing with. And but it also, like I said, I don't mean to harp on it, but it's also a worthwhile question, just how much can the Bears count on Kevin White, and just how cautious do they need to be?
And I think, too, we can say this about John Fox, is that he's consistent when he talks about injuries. I mean, he does it with everybody. I just wonder if he should maybe, you know, and somebody, Adam Hogue asked him, he goes, you know, John, do you understand the concern that the media is going to have and the fans are going to have when you're with the Kevin White situation because of what's happened in the past? And he's not fazed by it at all. But I feel like the problem with this situation, Mark, and you know this well, because you know what the narrative is today and what it's going to be when we finally talk to Kevin White, this does Kevin White a bit of a disservice, because he's going to have to answer a bunch of questions now about his health that he was already going to have to answer in the first place. And now he's put in a situation where we have even more questions, because the coach hasn't necessarily filled us in on where he's at. I mean, you almost feel a little bad for Kevin White. The guy's already got to come back from his second surgery, and now he's going to face even more scrutiny from the media.
Yeah, and to what you're saying earlier, John Fox is not going to change. I mean, he's done this for, 28 years or whatever he's done it for now and in the NFL. And he this is his kind of worldview of the media and the public as a professional football coach. And he just, you know, he does not believe in giving out information. It's unnecessary, a lot of it. We saw even Adam tweeted out, I think it was like a dime package the Packers had that one of their writers tweeted out. And the Bears aren't even allowing us to say who was on the field but didn't practice. But I guess the point is, John Fox, and to me this is the height of football ignorance, John Fox has won before in his career, but he's one of those coaches who thinks everything that happens when you win is a reason why you won, and is a symptom of winning. And when it comes to media access, just because it has been it's been this way under Bill Belichick does not mean that that's why he wins. But John Fox is from that school. Like I said, I probably told you a million times, you know, John Fox came of age as an NFL coach when Belichick was winning those three Super Bowls in the early in the last decade, the previous decade. And that's why he thinks the way he does. It's wrong, but and it doesn't help him. We're never going to get through to him. He's not going to change. This is what we're dealing with. It's just a matter of whether him being a good coach will allow him to win enough games where this is just something that is not consequential.
That's very true. And, you know, I think that the sometimes there are fans that think we're kind of whining, but I think fans would also love to know more information about the Bears' number 7 pick from 2015. And maybe
Kevin, I'm sorry to interrupt you. What I always say about fans who are whining to us is, don't think of it in terms of our job. Think of it in terms of your job. And if somebody was making your job more difficult, how would you feel about it? That's what, if you put it in that perspective, I think more people would see that. Yeah, you know, I bitch about a lot of things in my job because people make things difficult. That's what they're doing to us. So that never really fazes me. But I think it's a realistic complaint on our part, because that's all they're doing. And especially in this case, because sometimes they make things difficult and it's for their benefit. Okay, that I get. There's so much access now. The players have so many things to do that they have to limit access because the players only have so much time. I kind of get that. But when John Fox does things like this, there's no benefit to it. And he thinks there is, but he's wrong. There isn't. And that's why it's an issue.
I don't know, Mark. I can see the Falcons, Dan Quinn, defensive coaches may have updated their defensive scheme for week one if they don't think Kevin White practiced yesterday.
Yeah, right. That's the old Lovey thing about not telling the Vikings who's going to be starting at left guard that week or something. It is silly, and it's not just a thing where, you know, I don't know football. I know enough about managing people and games and competition and football to know that that kind of tack that he's taken, which is just kind of ingrained in his nature, is not beneficial to him on the football field, but he thinks it is. So, and he is a successful coach, and I think he will win. So you just kind of got to stand for it right now because he does have a resume behind him.
Let's talk about Mike Glennon a little bit. And neither you nor I were there for his entire press conference yesterday, but we've all heard the quotes and those of, you know, earlier in the show, we played some of his clips about 2017 being his year. What do you think of his mantra, his attitude about handling things with the media on Tuesday? He knew he was going to face the Trubisky questions. He just kind of repeated the same phrase. This is my year. This is my year. You think that's kind of, I think that's the right attitude for him to have. I don't know if necessarily it changes a whole lot about his status with the team. I'm not sure what else he could say, but what did you think about how he handled the kind of onslaught at the OTA?
Well, Kevin, I think that's a good way of putting it. It really doesn't change much. He didn't have much. He didn't have many options, but he handled it well, I thought. I think he acknowledged that it was a surprise, or maybe intimated that he wasn't happy about it. But he's on board. To me, it's an inherently awkward situation to have. That they're going to have to manage. I don't know much about Trubisky, but I think in Glennon they have a guy who will manage it well. The big test, of course, will come when he starts throwing interceptions, the Bears start losing football games, and people want to jump right over Mark Sanchez to Trubisky. And then we'll see. You know, as I said the other day in the OTA preview, when you've missed the playoffs 6 years in a row and 9 years out of 10, if Bears fans think you have a quarterback controversy, you have a quarterback controversy. So it's really going to be important to have the right guy in Mike Glennon and Trubisky and Sanchez, for that matter, and Fox to handle it.
I do find it funny, Mark, that whenever we talk to John Fox or Dow Loggins about the quarterbacks, they always make sure to remind us that Connor Shaw is still on the team.
Well, I would actually, Kevin, I am one of the people who is also reminding everybody that Connor Shaw is on the team. I thought before the Trubisky thing came up, when we were talking about 6 months ago, when we knew that this was the end of the Cutler era, I thought Connor Shaw, to me, showed me that he's got some gumption in him. He's got something, I don't know about physically, but he's got something, an ability to stand in there and make difficult throws under duress. That other quarterbacks like Brian Hoyer could not. One thing I noticed last year in preseason, Brian Hoyer under pressure was very inaccurate. Connor Shaw under pressure, including the play he got hurt on, was very good. To me, that's the mark of a really good quarterback. I'm not saying that Connor Shaw is the next Tom Brady or whatever, but just having that one quality I think is important enough to at least be intrigued to give him a chance. So I can't remember what the question was, but all I can tell you is that I don't blame them for mentioning Connor Shaw. He looks like the odd man out at this point, but to me, he's not just another guy. He at least deserves to at least be in their minds or have some kind of shot.
I'm not handing Mark Sanchez that job, even though he got the $1 million guaranteed. I think Connor Shaw could absolutely win that job. And I believe Connor Shaw still has practice squad eligibility too, so they can kind of be flexible with him. But he does know the offense. And most importantly, Mark, when they were doing a drill involving throwing at garbage cans during practice, Connor Shaw and Mike Glennon tied for the victory in that garbage can throwing competition. So I don't see any other way to judge the quarterbacks at this point besides that.
there you have it, Kevin. But I'll tell you, the big question I think will be, because somebody had mentioned this the other day when I just had brought up Connor Shawna's story, is are the Bears going to want to go into the season with Mitch Trubisky and Connor Shaw backing up Mike Glennon? You know, if there's an injury there, then you don't have a lot of proven NFL games to replace him with. So that will be their big question. But as far as could he physically beat him out, could he be a better prospect, a better quarterback? I don't think there's any doubt that he could. But the question is, will the Bears allow that to happen?
So we talked earlier about how Packers writers, put out who the dime defense was. I was reading Vikings writers' tweets breaking down the first team offensive line and the first set of three receivers out there. We unfortunately are limited. We can't do that. We were able to get a glimpse. We can kind of see who they put out there first, so we know who has a first crack at some of these jobs, but we can't really talk about it yet. But what are there position battles that you're kind of looking forward to when we get down to Bourbonnais in a couple months in terms of things that kind of intrigue you with this team?
Well, I guess mostly it's safety and cornerback. I want to see what they do there. They've got one answer at each, I guess, they've got potential now to have some new people in there. But I'll be honest, my theme of my interest, Kevin, not to ignore the question, is more about the players that they have in place who really need to take a big step up. Like Leonard Floyd, people like it, even Akeem Hicks, who really had a pretty good year, but really needs to reach another level for the Bears to be where they need. So my concentration, frankly, is on that. But as far as position battles, I'll be honest, I'm just not paying enough attention to really know what to look at. We'll have to be a lot closer to training camp to know that answer. But off the top of my head right now, I think most people would agree cornerback and safety are going to be two key positions.
The nice thing about those positions, Mark, is that those are the players that are competing for those spots are guys that Bears fans know. I mean, you're talking about, Adrian Amos and Harold Jones-Corte and Deion Bush at safety and DeAndre Hall, also who you talked to. You wrote a story about that. Folks can check that out at the Sun-Times website. And then at corner, you got Cravon LeBlanc and Bryce Callahan and Kyle Fuller. People forget still on the team. So I like those two competitions as well, just because when we're watching them in Bourbonnais and the preseason and we're talking to these guys, at least they're guys, they're not necessarily great players. That's why they're competing for jobs. But at least they're guys that fans know, which I feel like makes those competition battles a little bit easier to write about as opposed to guys that the fans have never heard of.
Yeah, and I think in a couple of instances, especially at cornerback, they've got some players who I think showed some potential. LeBlanc being one of them, I thought showed that he's a guy who could actually win the position. Where, frankly, I don't think they had much at safety last year. I just don't see the potential in either Amos or Jones-Corte. I think they were passable, but I didn't see the ceiling that I saw for a couple of the guys at cornerback. So I would Callahan I really like, and I just think that they're not great players, but I think they have more potential to be starters. Where I think at safety they need some kind of upgrade, which they got in the offseason, and plus the Hall thing, very intriguing. He did play some safety in college, and I think they saw a need there and some potential, and that bears watching too.
And Patsy, I'm going to switch gears for a second here because we're recording this on May 24th. I know you would rather right now be at a Blackhawks practice, previewing Game 1 of the Stanley Cup, than talking about what we can't talk about from the Bears OTA. So I got a hockey question for you. Ready for it?
Fire away.
What do the Blackhawks need to do this offseason to improve for next year?
Well, they're kind of stuck. They just don't have the cap room to get better, and they've got to actually make some moves now, and they've got to lose the right guy in the expansion draft to settle their salary cap issue. So it's the same theme as last year, Kevin. Growth from within. They need players who got better last year to take another step this year, and they need other players. A guy like they brought up, like John Hayden, I thought is like the perfect power forward to play with Taves. And I've always said Taves is always good with a good power forward. whether it's, you know, whether it's, you know, Brandon Saad or Marian Hossa in his prime, or Brian Bickle, whenever he's been paired with that. So that's one guy, if you're going to point out one guy, that's one guy who they need just to get better, because that creates a dynamic in that top line with Taze where he is at his best, and he needs to get better. Taze needs to be more productive. So to answer your question, where can they get better? It's got to come from within. Otherwise, their window is going to continue to close.
All right, and folks should know Mark Potash is one of the best Twitter follows, at Mark Potash, and he does not just Bears, not just Blackhawks. He can talk about the Cubs and the Sox and the Bulls. So how would you rank right now, Mark? This is a real Dave Kaplan question here, a real capothetical of sorts. And I know
you love, I hate Dave Kaplan questions, Kevin. I'm not very good at those.
It's not a capothetical, I guess. It's a ranking that he loves doing these on his show. So how would you rank the franchises in terms of potential to win in terms of the next couple of years in Chicago?
Well, Cubs, Blackhawks. Let's see, Cubs, Blackhawks, White Sox, Fire, and Bulls.
And what about the
Bears?
That
sound right? Oh, how could I forget about the Bears? Let me start over. I would say Cubs, Blackhawks, Bears, White Sox, Fire, Bulls.
All right, let me give you this follow-up then. Would you rather be, if you had to pick one, would you rather be a White Sox fan right now or a Bears fan?
That's a great question. Thanks. That's a great question. Well, let's see. I am both when I'm not working. I would say a Bears fan, because I think the Bears have potential. I think they have potential to be a contender, and I think they can win the Super Bowl. And when the Bears win, it does more for this town. You feel it more than when the White Sox win. Unfortunately, the White Sox are kind of a niche interest in this town, unfortunately. And so it's not quite the same thing. So as far as which team, are you asking me which team I think is closer? That's really hard to say. I like what the White Sox are doing, but they also have to do something that the Cubs recently did, and that's not only acquire all this talent, but develop this talent and bring up guys who can perform and develop under a lot of scrutiny, as the Cubs players did. I think that was a big key for the Cubs, and so the Sox need that. So based on that, I like what the White Sox are doing, but I think they're farther away, actually, because a lot of that is in the minor leagues.
I would agree with that. Here's a real tough one. Put you between a rock and a hard place here. Do you have more faith in the White Sox ability to develop Yoan Moncada and Lewis Robert and Kopech, or do you have more faith in Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone developing Mitch Trubisky, the future of the franchise?
Well, I would say the White Sox probably, because for one thing, it just seems like they have even more to work with. There are too many factors for a quarterback that can affect how good he is. They can even do a great job, but if you don't have a good offensive line, if you don't get the receivers, there's too many things that can impact his development. Whereas with these two stars and some of the other guys, Kopech, even these guys, I mean, they're so good that baseball is such an individual sport. They have a much better chance of being good almost with or without development. So I would say, to me, no question, I'd lean towards the White Sox in that equation.
Well, the best man in this town to talk all sports, Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Potash. And Potsy, I'll say this. The one nice thing about the Bears media restrictions is it does prevent us from spending this podcast overanalyzing who was lining up as the number one nickel corner or how a slot receiver looked in his first reps with Mike Lennon. So we can kind of save our breath a little bit and focus on that when the pads come on in Bourbonnais.
Well, it's funny you say that, Kevin, because I have to admit that is one thing that I like. But there are other guys on the beat, like Rich Campbell and Adam Hogue and Jeremy, that do not that really get a big kick out of looking at every little finite detail. So it's a negative for them, and but for me in particular, I just like to watch football games. So yeah, I'd say that is one thing that I don't like, overanalyzing that kind of thing. So for me, yeah, that is one thing that I guess I could say is good about OTAs. But I like the old days where we just showed up at either mini camp or in Bourbon A, or, you know, or Platteville, as it were.
Well, good news, Patsy. Only 15 and a half weeks till the first game of the season.
And I'm going to enjoy them, Kevin. So thanks thanks for having me on your podcast. I always enjoy it.
Absolutely. Go ahead and follow Mark Potash on Twitter, at Mark Potash, for the best insight into all of Chicago sports. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
If you're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProFootballWeekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at ProFootballWeekly.com. We now return to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Here's your host, Kevin Fishbane, talking all things Bears.
Big thank you again to Potsy, as we lovingly call him, Mark Potash, the Chicago Sun-Times. You can check out all of his work at the Sun-Times website, in the Sun-Times newspaper, and of course on Twitter. And interesting stuff. Again, I like to try to get inside media a little bit on this podcast, take you guys behind the scenes, because I think it's important for you to know that when you're reading what we wrote about practice, why we had to be careful about Kevin White and why there are questions about him, even though everyone seemed to say that he looks great and he's healthy. And then suddenly yesterday we had to ask John Fox about it. So that's just kind of how the Bears are. And unfortunately, it makes our jobs a little bit difficult. And unfortunately for you, the listener, the fan, the reader, you don't get to know as much about where the number 7 pick is at. Kevin White's going to be a huge storyline this year. If he can be effective, that's huge for the passing game. They have been saying all the right things about Cam Meredith, and Cam Meredith had a breakout season, but you need more than Cam Meredith, an undrafted rookie, an undrafted player who was a quarterback when he began college, to be for your receiving core. You need more. I got a chance to talk to Marcus Wheaton. Got a story on him up on our website, profootballweekly.com/Bears. He said he feels great. He's talked about wearing the red jersey, which means he's not, kind of full go yet. But he says he feels great, and he's hoping to let it loose soon. And I think he's going to end up being a big part of this passing game this year. If you just follow the money, he got one of the bigger salaries of the guys. I think he actually might be making the most money technically of the receivers on the team in 2017. Only played in 4 games last year because of a shoulder injury. So we'll hopefully have some more sound for you next week. Talk to some more guys. Maybe it'll be a little bit less controversial and less making fun of whoever talks to the media as a whole. But Mike Glennon made it a little too easy for us with his press conference.
One of the things we didn't talk about on this podcast, before you wrap things up, we didn't talk about Mike Glennon's actual size. I don't know about you, but that was the first time that he was kind of like over us. We were all kind of huddled around a small podium outside, and he stepped up on that podium, and especially us in video kind of were taken back. We had to readjust our cameras and kind of point him up, because you don't realize how tall he actually is.
He is, and he's 6'7", and I mean, when I met him, a lot of people joke about that he's kind of my long lost twin or half brother. Do you see that, Dan, when Mike and I are staying next to each other?
I totally see it. And kudos to some of the guys on the beat that got on top of that when Glennon was brought to town. And I know that some of our friends over at the Sun-Times were passing around some photos on Twitter if you got a chance to see those. But I'm sorry, Kevin. He is totally your doppelganger. I can't help but totally see you in him when he's up there talking.
Well, he's only about, I'll say, 7 inches taller than me or whatnot. But yeah, we got that kind of awkward, lanky white guy thing going for us. So I'm happy to join him, Mike Glennon, in that. But yeah, he's certainly a towering figure when he stands up there. What I'm looking forward to is the first time there's a huddle and he's staying next to, you know, Tariq Cohen, who's only 5'6". That'll be kind of fun.
And he had a great quote. I think somebody had asked him about that, and he said there should be some really good photos when Cohen's in the backfield.
Yeah, so we'll, I don't know, the next time we'll talk to Mike Glennon, maybe a mini camp in the middle of June. Maybe they'll wait all the way till Bourbonnais to talk to him next. And luckily, this is not going to be what we talk about Mike Glennon all the time. I think eventually it'll settle in. He's a starting quarterback. We got to talk more about him on the field. And Mitch Trubisky's time will come eventually at some point. Before we wrap up, Dan, this week was the season premiere of Bachelorette.
Oh, boy. We're bringing it back.
Here we go. That sound you hear is everyone turning off the podcast and unsubscribing. By the way, you should subscribe to the podcast. Look up Pro Football Weekly Chicago, Chicago Football Podcast, and give us a 5-star rating while you're at it, and tell me how much you love the Bachelorette updates. There is a football connection. There is a former Northwestern football player who is one of the contestants. Go Cats, Anthony Battle. And he got a rose on the first night, so he survived to episode 2. So, we'll keep an eye on it. Hey, he played football near Chicago, and this is the Chicago Football Podcast. So, therefore, as long as he's on the show, I might have some Bachelorette updates for you. Shout out to our other producer, John Solly, not on the show today. And of course, shout out to his son, Hank. Hopefully he gets well soon and be back on the podcast talking Bears with us next week. Big thank you to Dan Mott for running the board and producing this show. Lee Saldana put together that great Mike Glennon montage at the top of the show and does great video work for us at Pro Football Weekly. And of course, Mark Podash from the Chicago Sun-Times, who joined me for a little Kevin White and Mike Glennon and even some White Sox and Blackhawks conversation. For all of your best Bears coverage, remember, go to profootballweekly.com/Bears and follow everything on Twitter @Bears_insider. Another Bears practice next week, which means more Bears talk coming for you then.